in 2 Timothy here, the same book. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 7. And it says here, I have fought a good fight. And that word fought there is the same word as wrestle back in Ephesians. Titus, chapter 3, verse 9. But foolish, here again, this is very similar to the verse we saw in Timothy. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And again, that word strivings is the same word as wrestle. And also in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, it says here, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And that word brawlers is the same word as wrestling. So guys that like to get involved in fist fights. In other words, it says here in Titus that we're not supposed to just go out and get involved in fist fights for trivial reasons. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, wherefore I also labor, striving accordingly to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And that word striving is the same word as wrestle. Here he's striving to accomplish something. He's not wrestling against flesh and blood, but he's striving to accomplish moving the word. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, it says here, strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Here he's talking about eternal life and so forth, and he's showing the believers here something, Jesus Christ is something they should strive for. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 31, it says here, or what king going to make war against another sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that goeth against him with 20,000? That word against in that verse, against another, is also translated fight in some translations, and that's the same word as wrestle in Ephesians. And let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. And that word in that verse, fight, is the same word that's wrestled back in Ephesians. Again, Jesus Christ disappointed some of his followers in the first century because they wanted him to take up the spear and the sword and drive the Romans out and be a military king like King David was. And Jesus Christ was a spiritual king. He was came to preach the spiritual kingdom of God, not just to show them how they could go to war again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. And in verse 1, it talks about how Jesus entered into a ship and went over to his old, another city, his own city. Then they brought a guy that was sick unto him, sick of the palsy, was lying in bed, and he healed the man. And he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And some of the scribes and Pharisees, they got all upset and said, he's blaspheming. He can't forgive sins. But Jesus Christ knew by revelation what was going on. And he says, is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or rise up and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. He was healed. Jesus Christ had the power to just command diseases to leave and to command devil spirits to leave. That was the kingdom he was preaching about. He didn't come to establish the military kingdom. He didn't come to dance around with the devil and, you know, all these athletic things. He came to kick his butt spiritually. He just command things to happen and they would happen. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled. They glorified God that had given such power unto men. And a little farther down, verse 18, somebody, while he was teaching and speaking, somebody came and said his daughter was sick, or is even now dead. But he knew if Jesus Christ came, he could heal her. So he arose and he went with his disciples, and on the way there, there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she was believing that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. So she snuck in behind him, touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus Christ knew immediately that power had gone out of him, and somebody got healed. Verse 22, he turned round about and said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, verse 23, he saw everybody was there and they were making noise. And he said, the damsel is not dead. She's just sleeping. And they all just started laughing him to scorn. So he put him out of the room. And he touched her hand and he told her to get up, and she got up. And again, he was able to command the life to come back into her. That's the power Jesus Christ had. And verse 28, when he came into the house, the blind man came unto him and said, and Jesus said unto him, Do you believe that I can heal you? And they said, Yes. So he touched her eyes, and he said, According to your faith, be it unto you. And verse 30, their eyes were open. Again, miracle after miracle. And again, Jesus Christ, all he had to do was command things into being. And when people believed what he commanded, they got the results. In verse 32, there was a... they brought a man that was possessed. And the devil was, verse 33, the devil was cast out. And verse 34, the good old Pharisees had to get involved. And they said, he's casting out devils by the prince of devils. Quite often when there's a man moving with the power of God and delivering people, there'll be somebody around to accuse him that he's doing it by way of devil spirits. So if you go out and you operate a genuine ministry and you're delivering people and healing people, I pretty much guarantee that somebody's going to come along and they're going to accuse that what you've done is some devil spirit sham or scam or something, and they're going to say it's a counterfeit. But Jesus Christ was not a counterfeit. Verse 36, this is one of the things that shows he was a true man of God. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, be scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saith unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And that's a good prayer to pray. We should pray that in our day and time. We need to pray that God sends laborers into the harvest, because there's great need out there for people to hear the word of God. The adversary is moving forth in many ways of darkness in the political realm, in the religious realm, and you see wars, and you see earthquakes, and you see great hurricanes and typhoons and damage and tsunamis, and these are all manifestations of the devil working his acts. But we need to go forth and preach God's word, and when we speak the word, we suppress the adversary. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but when we speak the word, it's a sword of the spirit, and it just pokes the devil and wounds him. And it's our offensive weapon. We don't have to go out, and when somebody disagrees, like here when the Pharisees said that accused Jesus Christ of casting out spirits by having a spirit, he didn't go and get in a fist fight with them. He didn't go start wrestling with them. He didn't go start competing against them. He spoke the word. He spoke the word of God in love, and he spoke the truth. And that's what backs the adversary down. And in chapter 10, verse 1, and he called, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. So he took the same power that he had, and he gave it unto his followers.